This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America. Oh, guys, just got word of a rather radical podcast that I think you should check out. It's called The Friendship Onion with Dominic Monaghan and Billy Boyd. You might know them better as Merry a Duck and Peregrine Took, a.k.a. Merry and Pippin, hobbits and best friends from The Lord of the Rings. They're spilling all of the Lord of the Rings secrets, what they were doing during filming. They might rewatch movies. You may even hear from some of their former cast members. They're also welcoming fans on the show to battle it out with some trivia. Think you can beat Merry and Pippin with information on the Shire? Well, tune in to The Friendship Onion, available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe to The Friendship Onion YouTube channel and check out the video releases every week. Merry and Pippin, they got to drink the Entwash and grow in size, and then when they go back to the Shire, they're able to defend it. Sorry, that's only in the extended cuts and the books. But that is a little plot point that I love. As an Ent myself, it's very nice to hear that Dominic and Billy are launching a podcast. Maybe they'll want to come on High and Mighty and promote it. Maybe they're hearing this. Maybe they listen to their ads when they're out in the wild. If you guys want to come on and talk about your pod, I'd like to talk nothing more than Entwash with you. All right. Check out The Friendship Onion on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy, standing 6 foot two, 295 pounds. He backslid from 292 due to traveling for a week in Denver, Nassau County, Long Island, the South Shore. His name is John Gabris, whose wife is unfortunately working from home while he screams all day. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine made an appearance. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. He doesn't even blink anymore. I maybe should hold up a mirror to his nose. But also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios virtually, I am a fan of their podcast, and you will be too, or you already are. And it's the what about time. It's the What a Time pod. Patrick Monahan, Eli Yudin, Kath Barbadoro.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Wow. Yes.
I feel like there's nothing we can say after that that's not going to be a massive energetic letdown for.
Yeah.
That's part of my plan. I need to steal that focus early and keep that. That to me, I've learned doing that just puts the other person at ease of like, well, I mean, how can I embarrass myself on this podcast? You know, I always feel bad. I'm like, can you talk to me for an hour about nachos, Phil Rosenthal? And he's like, and I'm like, wait till you see what I do up top, pal.
I gotta know who. So the Arthur is the who is this and where is.
See, that's why that's why I asked if he was alive, because that's how he's
he does look dead.
He does look very well. That was out of frame, so I thought you were pointing to what looks like a volcano weed vaporizer.
Yeah,
yes,
that I was like, did you name? That's some real quarantine thing. You're like naming your volcano weed vaporizer. Good
and
God.
You use it so much, you're worried that it's not that you have to hold a mirror up to its nose because it's not releasing weed vape smoke.
I mean, honestly, I got a volcano. I got one paycheck. I got one $1,000 paycheck at the beginning of the quarantine, some voiceover job that just popped in. I was like, oh, hell yeah. Turned around and bought a volcano and a PlayStation 3. Not even a PS4. Nice. No, PS4. What's the newest one?
Five.
I'm on a 4. I bought a PS4 and a volcano, and I was like, this is going to be a great month. 15 months later, double's still going strong.
The two things guaranteed to not get you another paycheck for a while. You're like, well, now I'll just get high and play PS4.
Well, that was my plan, and it worked. And I didn't work, but the plan worked.
Yes.
When I was in college, we somehow convinced our school that we had an aromatherapy club, and it was specifically so the college bought us a volcano vaporizer. And we just...
fucking brilliant.
It was a delight. I don't know. I think it like got passed down to like the next, like it was a school funded, like, no, it's for the club. So, you know,
it has like one of those labels on it. It says like, you know, or like aromatherapy club or whatever, you know.
Like, yeah, do not remove like some from UT tape. Austin's aromatherapy club.
You have to wheel it out in like an old school AV cart, you know, do the whole thing. What was the idea?
Remember like the AV club in your high school, but level that up to the volcano club of college? Like, who's wheeling that around? It's just like guys in Burks and dreads and shit.
What are you watching when your teacher wheels out one of these? And it's just a volcano.
You're watching fucking Touching the Void, brawl.
The difference is that in college they wheel it out and there are like 10 guys riding the thing it's wheeling out on, like shirtless, like hollering.
It's just a full like banana boat style thing. So what was the sell? The sell was that you guys were gonna like pack that thing with lavender. Like, what was...
Is that the legitimate use for that product?
No,
is there a legitimate use?
Weed.
It's just for drugs, right? Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's
but
for
it came
drugs,
out
it,
when that wasn't cool to
it.
Say yet.
Yeah, they sold it because, you know, I was in college 10 years ago. So they were selling it as for herbs at the time for aromatherapeutic purposes. So we were like, look, it says so right on the label. That's exactly what we're going to use it for. We're just some 19-year-olds that love the smell of sage.
We love and aromas.
I smoke tobacco out of my 6-foot tobacco water pipe. You know what I mean? Like, me and my friends all blast huge hits of tobacco.
Yeah,
when you
want to get.
I will say this one time for some sketch or something that I did in college, like as part of the sketch, I had to take a bong rip, but I had like a test or something later that day. So I was like, I cannot actually rip. So I was like, oh, you know, it'd be like a great solution. I bet I could just rip tobacco out of a bong. So I have done it. And let me tell you, it's maybe still one of the worst things I've ever done. It is.
That's
got to
be brutal. That's like taking a fucking cigar enema. That shit is like too much
like,
tobacco.
I was like, is this what it's like to be in a forest fire? Like, that's what it. I was like one of those. I felt like I was like trapped in a burning house. I had to like lay down and roll around.
The flip of that story is in an acting class, I was supposed to smoke in a scene and I was like, I don't know if I. And this was like 3 years ago, I took my first acting and last acting class. They were like, and I'm still not working this year. Interesting.
You got what you needed. Look, you know.
I picked up on it. My scene partner, I was like, well, I don't want to smoke a cigarette. They were like, they would probably want it to be realistic. I'm like, oh, I'll smoke like a joint. I'll buy like a weak ass joint. I'll be fine. Meanwhile, I'm just like smoking weed in front of an acting class. And I'm like, this is so much more fun than acting is just sitting here and smoking weed. I'm like, it reminded me of how much I hated it. I was like, it like activated the stoner slacker in me in a way where I bailed on like finishing the scene. I was like, oh, I'm like too triggered by getting to smoke weed. I'm like, felt like a loophole of going high to school. I was like, yes.
You just walked straight out of the class. You're like, I changed my mind on this whole thing.
refurbished PS4 waiting for me. It's just like you have like magnetism toward your home. You're just like, right. I could be doing this in my house on my couch instead.
Yeah.
Why am I
you're
here?
Like, oh, I'm high now and I eventually have to go home. It's brutal. Ugh. Oh, if I was already home, I wouldn't have to eventually go home.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to ask, I was curious, because you got like the PS4. Did you get one of the like refurbished ones from GameStop?
No,
You got a brand new boy?
I got a brand new boy, but like I got one that came and I bought a bunch of, or one that came with like a couple of games in a package.
Ooh,
it was like
a bundle,
throwback
yeah.
classic. I got like, because I never played any of the PlayStation only titles. I've been an Xbox and PC gamer. So yeah. I got to fucking jam down a little God of War, a little Spider-Man, the both Last of Us. Starting off the quarantine by playing both Last of Us is
impossible to pluralize back to back.
Yeah, that was a little too heavy for me, although I was so insanely attracted to the woman in the second one that the game affected me.
Well,
it's
better than the first one because she's 14 in the first one. So if you're going to choose one.
Also,
in the second one, I'm talking about, I'm not even about the main character, but the super buff one who like is a murderer, a problematic murderer.
Oh, yeah. Problematic. I didn't want to pivot too hard into video games, just immediately leave Kath out of the whole thing. I just remember because I got one of the refurbished ones from GameStop. And after I got it, I was like, of all the things that I know that someone has used before, I really don't want, like, because I was like, is this some weird 14-year-old's PS4 that was, like, you know, just, like, in that energy of a room that kid's in? Like, I don't want that one.
How much cum dust is in my CD-ROM?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's what cranking it to Dead or Alive, like, and I got to use it now.
What is this going to do to, like, the feng shui of my apartment to bring this energetically, like, just full of like undiluted testosterone into my home?
Yeah, it might be better to bring like a haunted doll into your house than like a 14-year-old's refurbished PlayStation. Even the Lord couldn't refurbish this one.
Yeah, it's just full of, that was like, I tweeted about it, so you know, don't call me out like, oh, you tweeted, but I like the new Instagram thing that they've been advertising to me is vintage anime shirts, and I'm like, I do not want to buy a fucking anime shirt that was worn by anime dudes. Like, are you kidding me? Like, there could not be a worse shirt than be like, oh, you want this Goku shirt? And I was like, I know who wore Goku shirts. And I, they're
it's up there with like wrestling shirts of like, I don't know. That as a guy who wears both anime and wrestling shirts,
I
donate all my clothes like a good boy, but I've warn the lady out of the closet. I'm like, if you want to just set this shit on fire, I think you'd be fine.
There are some vintage wrestling shirts that go for so much money, and it's like, I get that cool people wear them now, but like, this shirt was not worn by someone who's like you would want to have skin to skin contact with, most likely. Yeah.
Like, also, I'd be so bummed to give like the type of guy who has a Ricky the Dragon Steamboat vintage shirt $2,000. What is he gonna do with that fucking? He's not sending it to his ex-wife and kids like he's supposed to. He's definitely figuring out a way to flip that on the street, bro.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, like, he's buying a volcano and a PlayStation 4, no question.
What's the trashiest thing he could buy with it?
That's the first thing you should do. But like, when everything gets fully legalized, GameStop should just be like, we're also a head shop. Like, we know what we're doing. They already do all the head shop stuff because they've got games, 14-year-olds hang out in there all the time. They've got like head shop shit down already.
Yeah, this is full energy. Just start selling apes.
I already don't feel comfortable in there. Like, it's already just like a head shop.
Like, as a guy who loves weed and video games, both places are so dreadful to be in.
I have a bit this, about how like, it's so weird because like, I love to smoke and like I smoke all the time, and I feel like people who like weed are very vibe conscious, and yet the vibe of all head shops is so malevolent. It's like, it doesn't feel like it feels like you're in the back of a van. It doesn't feel like you're in a business. Yeah. It's very uncomfortable.
You know, another weird like link, most head shops I've been in sort of feel like you're inside a gaming PC because there's like LEDs everywhere.
There's like bubbling fans, sounds and fans and, like, and coolants.
You're like, am I in the grid? What the fuck?
Did I just work in an Alienware 5100C, NVIDIA GeForce 72, or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and it feels like they're bullying me because they're like, I'm like, I don't know, I don't care how much weed you smoke, like, there don't need to be this many kinds of papers. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. It's like a coffee machine. They're like, do you want the cones? And I'm like, I want the small paper. Like, little paper, yes?
Black.
Square, roll.
No sugar, like, no milk.
I was just in Austin, and I had to go into a head shop. And, like, this is already kind of how every business in Austin operates like head shops in other parts of the country operate. Like, all legitimate businesses sort of feel a little bit like a head shop. So the head shops there feel, like, totally insane. So, like, I walk in, there's, like, five or six people congregating right outside the door, and I like walk past them and go in, and there's no one in there, and I realize those people all work at this head shop, and I waited in there for I'm not exaggerating, like, probably 10 minutes before one of them came in.
Yeah.
It's like, how was Rogan? Saw me.
You were in Austin. Also, how was Rogan? Was it as fun as doing High and Mighty?
Oh, it was great. I think we really got to the bottom of a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah, you brought him to get vaxxed, which I think is going to be big. That's a big special.
Yeah.
It's my credit now.
I was thinking about, because it was like, you know, he's ever present on the internet, and then the new Resident Evil came out, and I was like, if Joe Rogan busted out of a house in a Resident Evil, I wouldn't be like, he shouldn't be in there. I'd be like, oh, this is also someone. I'm like, he's going to explode. He's going to get the virus on me. But
actually, like 40% of the people who coded the Resident Evil have listened to every single minute of the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, yeah. You just don't want.
That's why the mansion you're in the new game looks like the inside of a barbecue restaurant.
Yeah. The man cave like in the new Resident Evil.
Octagon / TGI Fridays he records out of down there.
I saw it. Now, Gabrus, I don't know when you left New York, but I don't know if you remember this place. The pictures of his studio, somebody said, why does this look like a barbecue restaurant? And I was like, it looks specifically like the Hell's Kitchen location of the Justin Timberlake barbecue restaurant, Southern Hospitality.
Oh, no, I missed that one. That one was maybe after okay. my time.
Yeah.
I like that you said that, like, if you were in New York when this restaurant existed, you would definitely know. You would.
I mean, like, yeah. He might know. That's all I'm saying.
That would be my vibe. I got rejected from the downtown bar that has the steel bull in it because when I went up to the bouncer, this is all coming back to me because this when you said, we were talking about it. The place that I think Joe Rogan's studio looks like is that place that has the, it's called like, it might be called Mason-Dixon line or some shit.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
That sounds like, definitely
it's like
right, even though I don't
know what
it is.
Lower East Side of New York. And I remember getting rejected after a rugby match trying to go in there. And the guy, I was like, my wife's like, why won't you let my husband in? Because he's pissed himself. He's got piss all over himself. My wife was like, what? And I was like, oh, I'm arguing with the bouncer. She's defending him. And the bouncer's like, the guy's soaked in piss. And I looked down and I had fully pissed my pants. It was like all over. I had shorts on. It was like soaked through my shorts, all over my legs. And I had no idea. And I'm screaming, why won't you let me in to this shithole that I don't want to go to?
Just yeah, those embarrassing, like, where it looks like chaps, but it's piss instead of leather. Yeah.
Like, that Liam Neeson shit.
Wait, was that you a rugby thing? Chaps? Like you just got hit so hard you pissed?
No, I just was so blasted.
Oh, okay.
I think my friends were like, you said you peed by the car. So I think I just had like an absolute misalignment of where my urethra was.
Or maybe
one of those like, oh, my dick is out so I can kind of look around New York City and act inconspicuous. But really, my dick is in my pants and I'm fully taking a 24 beer piss in my pants. But trying to look nonchalant around the city like, oh, weather. Yeah. Huh?
You just forgot the most important step. You're like, I'm going to go piss by that car real quick. And they just watch as you stand by the car and piss your pants. Just like, oh, that's not like really how it
there's
works.
Something. Am I supposed to wipe at the end or pull it out in the beginning?
I
there's
know,
something
I'm
supposed
something.
To do.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like what is. Other people do this. This is cool. All right, if you say so. I really. That's not a type of story that you also expect there to be a wife that's on your side in it.
Yeah. It's like, right, wait, you meet this fucking psycho. Believe me, we're no longer on the same side. It's been a crazy year. She takes strangers in traffic side against me while I'm driving. We're at that level of marriage where it's like, actually, he had the right. Like, what the fuck is this? Oh, he's actually a good. Like, you're the bad driver, honey. Is like the level we're at now. We're siding with strangers on the road.
Oh my god.
The reveal. That's strangers like on really... the road.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to power segue to little
Let's do
guys.
It. Power segue. Absolutely. Go for
power
it.
Power segue.
Little guys are also on the road sometimes, and that's bad for them because they're so little and cute. When I asked Eli what you wanted to talk about on the pod, he said, I was talking to just him, assuming you three have some sort of mind melt, and he just wrote back, little guys, you know, like little animals, little dogs, little frogs and stuff. And I was like, actually, I know exactly what you mean, and yes, 100%. Because I was like, oh, I feel bad if he like kicks back something without talking to Kath and Patty about it. And then the one he kicks back, I'm like, I feel like this makes sense for you guys big time.
I'm like, Magic the Gathering draft strategy. Hey, Patty and Kath, we're doing a podcast. Strap in. No, it's weirdly it's a subject we discuss at length all the time on our podcast. So I was like,
like
this is a good easy one to be like, we're all fans of little guys, right?
I feel like they're like everyone is. That's kind of, mm-hmm. we found, like, we stumbled upon, like, a, no one hates like a little newt. You know what I mean? They always fucking rule, especially if they look like they should be huge killer dragons, but then you realize they're like on a hand or something. That's the best thing about little guys. Is
classic example of a little guy.
I think it's like, and every, I feel like there's even since like the pandemic, there's people just love a picture of a little guy because like everything is so bad, but little guys are always like in their own little world. So you're just like looking at like a tiny frog in sand and you're like, he has no idea. He's just chilling. He's having a great time.
You don't have to pull out to like the plant too. Pouring toxic sludge into the pond that the frog lives in.
Exactly.
You're just seeing the little frog. Look at him. Holy shit. It's magical. Zooming in on, like, I think a thing we're seeing a lot of in the pandemic, this is so stupidly anecdotal, but like people putting out little tables for squirrels and birds and shit. I feel like a new thing in the last year.
Love that shit.
I am here for it. And there's something about the shrinking down of the viewpoint. And Eli, I wasn't even thinking this until you said, like, the world sucks, and the more shit you see at one time, the more high risk you have of something bad infiltrating it. So if we shrink it all down to, like, the little fairy door by my house that I built with a little squirrel table where I put corn out for them. Like, that's so, you can just, you're truly, like, Wes Andersoning your own little, like, world to look at and feel peace.
I have some very pertinent little guy information that I actually meant to tell Eli and Patty, so now I can share with you all.
Oh my God.
You were all talking about video games for a while, so I don't feel that embarrassed to share.
No, legally you have the floor for as long as you need.
No, I just meant, I feel like I'm about to reveal something extremely nerdy about myself, which is that I'm taking Japanese classes.
Oh, shit!
I'm learning Japanese.
That is a weeb in every way but anime. It's just a matter of time.
Now, that's, if I could unpack Kath, barely knowing her only over social media, that's some like loosely connected to wrestling thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's where you're like, now I can speak to the
Japanese
restaurant. I'm currently
wearing a Japanese wrestling t-shirt. Like, it's absolutely so I can, you know, go make friends with Hiroshi Tanahashi. That's why I'm learning Japanese, to just like go become the wife of a famous hunk.
Well, here, I'll tell you the classes that I was signed up for pre and peri pandemic, and you tell me what life I'm planning. I take weekly Spanish lessons, surf lessons, and Jeet Kune Do. Bruce Lee's martial arts.
Gonna be in Point Break.
You're gonna start your own surfing bank robbery gang.
Yeah. And then when you flee,
you're gonna fight Anthony Kiedis. That's
finally, that's been brewing for since fucking Aeroplane.
Yeah. I think the thing we have in common is our future lives both involve us meeting hunks.
My whole life has been geared towards trying to meet hunks as long. I could talk hunks for hours because I have like a classic, like I like big male hunks, but let's shrink it down to little tiny hunkies.
Yeah. What's this new info? What's the new drop? Yeah.
So one of the words I learned last week in Japanese class is mushi. And mushi, my Japanese teacher, who's a Japanese guy, said it means bug. But he gave us a bunch of examples of a mushi, and he said a snail was a mushi, and there was something else, like a crab was a mushi, and I was like, that doesn't seem right. Those aren't bugs. And so I looked it up, and apparently it's like, there's a different word for insect, but mushi is basically like little guy. Like,
oh, nice.
It's like critter.
Kath, you just said the magic. I was just about to say, me and my wife, our magic word is critter. Like, when we say critter, we mean that's a type of, a dog can be a critter, a spider can be a critter. Like, but it has to have critter energy or mushy energy.
Those are the two, mushy, like, good and evil. Is critter is good, creature is an evil critter. A big evil critter. I'm glad to learn this word. Japanese are so great at like, they're like, you didn't know you needed a word for this, but here you go. It's mushy.
I do want to be to clarify, because I don't want anyone to get mad that like, so the reason it's kind of little guy is in like it's sort of an old Japanese word. And it was basically like, things are furry or they fly or they're or they swim in the ocean. And if they're not one of those things, they're mushy. Like, there's birds. There's like furry stuff, there's fish, and then everything else is a mushi. So like lizards, bugs, all that, all the critters.
They're classifying stuff like from the Book of Genesis, like by what yes. day God made it. Yeah. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. A flying
day
thing,
six,
a scaly
God
thing.
God dropped the critters.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think.
Sprinkles them out. Like, it's like herbs at the end of your dish, Allison Romaine style. Just snip some basil and snip some critters and drop them across. Yeah. Yeah. That's how God.
The seasoning of life, little guys.
And you got it. They got like, if you're, you know, on that train, you believe in the one omnipotent God or whatever, it's like, you got to know when they knocked out the ladybug, they were like, oh, hell yeah.
This we nailed guy it with this is one.
Pretty yeah. good.
We made Bro. A bug that we made a bug that no one is grossed out by. Somehow.
Yeah.
We made a bug universally loved, but is also poisonous. It's like the perfect, perfect. I had one in my beard leaving the beach the other day. And my
oh
wife,
my God.
My wife was like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. Just stop moving it. And it was like, I was like, take a picture. Like, I thought it was like, this is content. I would be a king if I had a ladybug in my beard. And now I'm like, now I have to like seek this out. I'm going to have like a stylist yeah. place ladybugs in my beard.
No, that's like sure. a like Miyazaki character shit. You with ladybugs in your beard? Get yeah. out of here.
Was the ladybug giving you like instructions and like telling you about the castle? Because then you're there, dude. It'd be like, that's when you find out it's not a ladybug, and the ladybug is like, I'm a prince, but I was changed by the witch. And then you
yeah,
have
I was
to
say, it actually turned into a very short woman who looks like a caricature of Edie Falco. That's actually what.
Oh, shit. That's good news for me. As someone who on this Sopranos rewatch, I watched it when I was 18, 19, when it was first out, and then I watched it again this past pandemic, and man, was I a little Furio and Christopher Kidd, and now I'm a fucking Roe and fucking Carmella man. Like, that's how I knew I became a man, is because I'm like, no, you know what? Adriana, great character, but I'm here because I care about Carmella.
You're for the Tony, moms.
Do you not realize what you have, bro?
Yeah.
That's, you hate Father Intintola for a different reason. It's like, he's just taking advantage of her. He doesn't care about her.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, it's just, you love to the perspective change of, like, aging. Like, I always think, like, the biggest 180 everybody does is on graffiti. We're like, when you're like in high school, you're like, graffiti's the coolest. Walls don't belong to anyone, man. And now, like, if I see graffiti, I'm sometimes like, so, like, this business is going to have to clean this up. Like, I don't know. Like,
I argue that there's like three tiers of that. And then you flip back around where you're like, this is actually, you know, interesting local art. Like, you eventually mm-hmm. get that. And I hit that when I realized I'll never own a piece of property.
Right.
I was like, oh, fucking paint whatever you fucking want, people. Yeah.
It will never be my problem.
The most expensive thing I've ever owned, I'm talking to you guys on.
Yeah. What if they graffitied your microphone?
Like, oh. Fuck, dude. No, oh, now man. This fucks. And now I look too cool. People are going to be let down when they actually start hearing me on the pod.
Yeah.
Well, if it's good graffiti, then maybe it eventually means, you know, it'll flip and someone wealthier than you will buy the laptop from you and turn
yes,
it around, you know?
Right, because it has like Supreme written on the back or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's a limited edition yeah. now. You know, you
hire a cool artist like the tech companies used to do, and he can just do graffiti on your laptop. It'll be $800 instead of whatever they paid the guy to do the Facebook offices or whatever.
Yeah, come in here. We need to boost morale. It'll be better if people were here for 12 hours a day, but, you know, with like a robot behind them.
It's what like, if we let them play ping pong for 15 minutes, then they'll work 16-hour days? And what if we convince them that the people that they work with are their friends, then they don't have to try to maintain social lives outside of here? And it's like, I'm going full socialist already. We should be talking little guys.
Also, the ping pong is frowned
upon. Support of the little guys.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, we're trying to work here, asshole.
Yeah, ping pong is ping pong plus open concept offices, who would ever want that ever?
The most nightmare. Annoying sound, and instantly you're like, sorry, like having to reach between a woman's chair. You're like, sorry, I'm just gonna get under your desk for 2 minutes, you know.
Socialism
is ultimately all about being pro little guy, so I feel like this is all
yes,
it is about the little guy. It's about the little guys all working together,
the insect Fuck. Bourgeois.
Tie back, Kath. That's a power segue if I've ever heard one.
Oh yeah.
So now the rest of this podcast is all about serious political theory.
Thank you.
I'm
now I'm just I'm just picturing the Doozers from Fraggle Rock right now. That's what we, the little guys all working together, and then yeah. Wembley eats their little buildings.
I do think the little guys in media are all often overlooked. We're like, this is unrelated, but I was having a long conversation about little guys with a guy outside of a show like a couple days ago. And I think it was with Andrew Durso. And I was like, because it's like, for me, that's why I like Mandalorian and stuff. I don't really like Star Wars. It's like, I'm always, there's just like, I want all of Star Wars. I don't give a shit about Luke. I want like, who's that like weird bird on a table in one bar scene who's just spinning around and like squirting milk? I'm like, who is that? Anyone want to know more about this weird like nipple bird?
You're like big salacious crumb head.
Yeah, that's literally what I was going to say. This guy loves salacious bee crumb.
Salacious crumb is not a mushy, dude. He's a creature. He's not a critter at all.
He's a full-blown critter when
he's
you think
not
about
a critter.
Think about it. Poor guy. It's a victim of his circumstances. He doesn't know anything. He's economically anxious.
He's laughing at people being enslaved. Hold on. He's laughing
because he's so grateful it's not him, because he knows he's next if he can't keep finding people to enslave.
He also, his hair growth is bad. Like,
yes,
you feel like you'd sometime in the series you see like the same species that Salacious Crumb is, but it looks like fine, and you're like, oh, Salacious Crumb is like really sick, like he has mange. That's not like normal Crumb,
they don't have a stylist on that barge,
That'd be awesome to finally see like what Jabba's people look like, and none of them look like him. They're all like kind of, and he's just like, everyone's like, oh, that's just his race, and he's like, totally my race.
Yeah, man, yeah,
his brother shows up. His brother shows up and just like looks like just a snake, and they're like, what? And he's like, yeah, he's got a bit of a weight problem. He always has.
I'm like allergic to everything I eat. Okay? I can't.
Yeah, that's what Jabba the Hutt. He has celiac, but he just eats nothing but gluten, which every food in
just
Star Wars is
jamming down fucking
he
bourbon
has to get,
every night.
He wants to get
gastric. That's what the quarter portions were.
He wants to get gastric bypass, but he's like one of those weird alien races that has like 8 stomachs, so it's just like extremely complicated.
Yeah, it's too hard.
He's got 8 doctors working at once. All right, now we have to. All the staples have to hit at once.
It's like it's a real like everything at one Voltron key style. It has to all be, right. Or it just migrates to a different stomach and is like escaping at all times. I don't know
Salacious Crumb is just praying that the operation fails and goes wrong.
So he can be free.
Sitting on his shoulder.
That's the thing.
He's the heir to the throne.
The Salacious Crumb aliens are like very like healthy looking and well fed, and the Jabba the Hutt aliens are snakes, and it's just that this Jabba the Hutt has stolen the soul from this Salacious B. Crumb.
I guess. Yeah. Yes. Very, very good, sir. A Wanawanga. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I don't even know how, like, I feel like it's impressive if you're like a big fat guy in Star Wars, because every piece of food in Star Wars looks awful. Like, you just love green milk that much that you're just like slamming it. Like,
well, that is always the thing, too. It's just like, no, it's a humanoid race from the planet Gunt. It's like, sure.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. These guys all speak unaccented English. Lucky things.
American imperialism is really something. It's not all the way out there.
We all shop online the last year more than ever before. And every time you check out, you see that promo code and you're like, damn, I wish I had one. And then you do like a quick Google search to see if you can get $5 off your noise canceling headphones or $10 off your expensive sneakers or whatever. But all you need is Honey, which is the free browser extension. It scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. The reason I said noise-canceling headphones is because my wife used it to get 10% off a pair of noise-canceling headphones. It wasn't 10% off. It was around 10% off, but it was like, you know, $25 off or whatever. It had some deal like that. But that's exciting. She saved like $15 or $20 on a pair of noise-canceling headphones. So Honey, it works. Honey has found over 17 million members, $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free, installs in a few seconds. Literally, figuratively, everything. It is free. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/mighty. That's joinhoney.com/mighty. joinhoney.com/mighty. So my neighbor here in my little apartment complex, we're all in each other's businesses now because no one's, and speaking of my neighbor's business, she resells clothes online. Like she finds clothes, does something to them. I don't want to get too involved with her, but the exciting thing and the reason I bring her up is because she uses ShipStation. She can import orders from any sales channel. She could ship with any carrier using the discounted rates, and you can automate just about all the shipping tasks. So she likes it because she spends less time shipping and more time growing her business. She's, you know, selling her stuff on websites, and ShipStation keeps all her orders in one place, so it's super easy for her and gives you discounts with UPS, FedEx, USPS, all that. So small businesses can now access the rates that usually giant companies get access to. So she benefits from it. Maybe you can too. I highly recommend. I'm, as a matter of fact, thinking of firing up ShipStation for some merch stuff. So ship more in less time. Just use my offer code MIGHTY to get a 60-day free trial, M-I-G-H-T-Y. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, S-H-I-P-S-T-A-T-I-O-N.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the page and type in MIGHTY. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code MIGHTY. Let's make ship happen. We're touching a third rail that I talk about probably as much as you guys talk about little guys, it sounds like, is fat superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
If you are an alien from the planet Krypton, why do you have cum gutters? Like, you didn't earn them. If you are the Hulk, you are just gamma radiation. You don't need abs. You're just insanely strong. Yeah. These people, Captain America, like maybe Captain America, maybe Black Panther, these guys whose bodies are their thing. But if like you're gifted with supernatural, like why would Thor have big arms? He is a god. He's not using effort ever. Or is flying cardio for Superman? Now I'm just doing like 8 minute chunk that I haven't done because I haven't seen people in a year. Sorry.
No, it's like, yeah, like the Hulk.
What else?
Like,
what else did I want to talk about?
What else did I lose? Okay, yeah, so yeah, like, Israel, Palestine. Sorry, I'm actually not going to say anything about that.
Yeah. This is, you know, sore subject for, but it's, oh my, yeah. So little guys, big guys. Yeah, but the Hulk, like, the Hulk.
Good segue.
Big guys, big guys, the Hulk.
Yeah, especially since it's based on, like, radiation and it's, like, a disaster. Why would he be perfectly proportional? Like, why does he get big in the way that he's, like, I do arms on Monday, chest on Tuesday? No, he should turn into just, like.
He should be the elephant man, dude. He should just be a green elephant man and just be really strong.
Why is Star-Lord jacked? When did he exercise? He's mostly in zero gravity. He flies around using gadgets and swords. There's no justification for why he should be jacked.
Actually, every space.
He could look like, say, I don't know, Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec, and it would totally work as as a movie.
No, every space hero should be like horrifically atrophied from zero gravity.
They should all be like kind of round like no toning, no definition.
Right. Well,
isn't that
just like soft and babyish?
When astronauts that do long missions, don't they come back and they like cannot stand up because they're just like. Which should tell you that it's like, okay, we are messing with some like above our race shit when they come back and they're like shrunk into little worm legs. They look like fucking David Cross in the like Titanic sketch. It's like, ooh.
That shit, maybe when he's got the little slim gym body. That shit makes me laugh so hard. That visual is in my head since the day I saw it when I was like 9 or whatever.
One of the people in that sketch says he looks like a wet cigar. And that has never left me. It's never left me.
I don't even remember that. That's a strong specific. That's a very strong specific.
You may I will recommend, we won't go into it, but because there's you mentioned the anime thing. There is a guy that I like that's a fat superhero in like the show My Hero Academia, and his power is he's just like, I don't feel it when you punch me.
It's like, hell yeah.
Nice.
That seems good. And he's like, I'm very bouncy. And they're like, yeah, this all tracks. This is good.
Also, I'm like so obsessive with like powerlifting and feats of strength and stuff. It's like, look at what the strongest people in the world look like. They don't look like Captain America.
Absolutely not.
They look like truckers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They look not good. They look like they're having some issues. They're dark purple frequently, their skin tone.
Yeah. No, like, you'd think Captain America would have the diet of like Tom Brady, where like, you know, where like Patty usually like he eats like one cheeseburger and dies, just like distilled water or else. Yeah. They look like his influence are like perfect, like. Low body fat.
The strongest people on Earth look like Hank from Breaking Bad. They're like all like head veins. They're just made of head veins.
They're fire hydrant builds so that they have super short levers. The guys who could bench press the most in the world have short arms. It's like the guy with the 900-pound bench press has weirdly proportioned body, huge fucking pecs, and little tiny arms. He's got to move the weight fucking 6 inches. fucking biological advantage. Fucking big guts, people used to joke and call them power bellies when you're deadlifting, because you just crunch it down and grab the bar and your stomach is like, I need to expand, and it just kind of gives you a little force rebound back up.
It's like one of those yoga balls at work, you know, or like sit on it. A Bosu.
It's like how Michael Phelps is to swimming, a fire hydrant man is to powerlifting.
Yes, dude. Tess, this is another obsession of mine, is that genetic advantage of like, when there was that article, it must have come out at some point, where it's like, and he has weirdly flexible ankles that like he can't run because his ankles sprain so easily, but it makes for perfect kicking. He's got size 15 shoes. He's got
super
long arms, no torso. Yeah, he's hairless.
He's like, a merman.
Six lungs. Yeah.
He's from the Zora kingdom.
You want to be just like, he's a fish. Just say he's a fish.
This was on my mind because I was talking about Jim Carrey with my friend who's a comedian the other day, and he was like, whatever like Michael Phelps has for swimming, Jim Carrey's face has for making faces.
He has a webbed face.
That's exactly what my friend comedian Joe Barlow said. He was like, he has webbed feet, but for comedy.
Well, yeah, I mean that Fire Marshal Bill face is like wild and not easy to do for an extended period of time. And
let me tell you something. I sprained my chin trying.
You can look this up. There was like a really, really good football kicker who was really good because he did not have one foot. And so they were like, he just had like basically like a little wrecking ball down there. And they were there's no spin.
One of the OG like early record holders as the NFL kicker was a dude who had no toes. You're right.
That was the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had like lost, and he would just had like a club foot, and he would like swing it like a fucking cricket racket and just smash a football through.
His mother was actually a witch from the Roald Dahl's The Witches. That's why he didn't have toes.
Yeah.
His dad was a fucking try-hard high school football player who got a monkey paws wish I want my son to be good at football like I never was. He's like, well, he's going to be a kicker, and because he's going to have no toes. It's like, no! Yeah.
But it's just that whole thing. It's like, he's eliminated spin completely. It's like, it is like a weird anime hero. It's like, neutral foot man, able to kick with perfect straight accuracy.
People just start getting weird genetic modifications to be better at super specific sports.
Yeah.
The money is in blank now. The money's in CrossFit now. It's like, cool, I had genetically had my shoulders destroyed so I could do a million kipping pull-ups. Like, I have
pre-ground
ball
all my joints to dust.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bring that back. Be like, it's like, oh, this player is suspended for performance enhancement. They're like, oh, drugs? And they're like, no, he got all his fingers made longer and he's grabbing the ball too much. And it's weird
and
creepy.
He had lead implanted under his knuckles.
There's another guy that... Oh, go ahead, Patty.
So he's getting elective Tommy John surgery. It's like, well, see, I already got the dead guy's ligament, so I'm good.
Yeah.
You're going the full... Guy. You get two Rowan Gardeners just in case it works for you. Yeah.
There is another guy. This is shout out. I've been watching all these videos on this channel called Secret Base, which is basically like sports, but the weirdest possible words. There's another guy. Remember, like, you probably saw him like Sandlot or whatever. Remember the Stick'Em that people had, and it was like glue or whatever. And so you're supposed to put like a little bit on your hands to maybe be able to catch the ball better. And then literally this guy who was in the NFL just was like, is there a rule against me putting my whole hands in there? And they were like, no. And so he started playing. You can look at photos. His hands are like covered in glue. And then it was working so well that he started covering his whole body in it because it made him just like impossible to deal with. So he'd take like a bucket of Stick'Em and like rub it on his chest, and then like He was a cornerback, right? So like
everyone
a
was
wide
just
receiver,
too grossed
like,
out to touch him.
Yeah, he would have like feathers and grass and like Gatorade cups stuck to him and shit.
And literally like Looney Tunes style, like, you know, like a wide receiver would be like, oh, I'll just push off him. And then they're like, I'm stuck to you. Like, and they had to make a rule where they were like, you can't do this. You can't,
you can't
be a little
be
swamp
sticky.
Thing, dude. You can't be like this nasty on no, the that's field.
That's like how Kimbo Slice in all those backyard fight videos, he would like oil himself up so people couldn't grapple him. And it's so like you would just watch these dudes go to grab him and be like, their arms would slip off and be like, uh-oh. And like, boom, just blast. The look on their face the second they're like, well, I thought I'd be able to grab him. This guy's huge and he's mad slippery.
Uh-oh, he's buttered
like,
up.
Like, oh, in that movie Bronson, Tom Hardy does that shit too. He like rubs that oil on his body, gets fully naked and is just like, bring it on.
Yeah,
I think what we need humps. Is a fight between Kimbo Slice and the Sticky Man. I want to see who would win that.
Well, this is I
it's like Velcro.
The other, that I believe that Kimbo Slice dying. I don't know how something bad happened. I think it was like, but him dying was like against what was supposed to happen because he was built and born to beat the shit out of Jake Paul, and then he died before he could. It's like destiny. To me. I fully think they'll find like a vase with like Kimbo Slice beating the shit out of Jake Paul on it, and they'll be like, ah, didn't, like, the whole universe is out of whack. You know what? That's why everything that's happened in the last 2 years is because Kimbo Slice couldn't defeat, the great battle never happened. Now we're off the
timeline.
So we have
to go back in time and stop Kimbo Slice from dying, whatever might have caused his death, based on his life.
Which
and
was
life.
Everything that he ever did.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right.
His I got you, buddy.
Yeah. You have to go get back into your childhood bedroom and have the airplane engine hit you. That's actually the
There's no easy like you can't find a convergence point of like where do I go to save Kimbo Slice? It's like you got to spend like 20 years with him and
you kind of have to like really put in a lot of effort, more effort than you ever put in on your own life. It's like,
right. like you gotta really keep an eye.
Yeah, you gotta like get him to like not get slammed into concrete parking dividers in street fights for like 15 to 20 years. That was like kind of the big thing.
If you do too good a job, he won't even get started fighting. So you have to kind of, you know, you
that's
can't
the other
go back
thing.
Too
you end
far.
Up, you end up, Jake Paul gets even more powerful because there is no Kimbo Slice at all.
Oh, yeah.
There's only Professor Slice from USC.
The poetry professor, Mr. Slice, still dresses the exact same way.
I mean, his real name too is like Francis Kim or something like that too. It's our Francis Kimbo or something like that.
Yeah.
It's even
Bald
like
King though, Kimbo Slice.
Fuck
really.
Yeah.
The answer to this is you got to get Butterbean out of retirement.
Butterbean. Talk about the strongest men in the world. Yeah. Butterbean
is not afraid to take someone out in like a stunt fight. Like he did. There was the WWF one too. In when I was, I forget what it was called, like Tough Enough or no, it was called Brawl for All. And and there was a guy that was supposed to win. On the wrestling side, where they have like a boxing match with wrestlers, and it was this guy, Dr. Death Steve Williams, and he got beaten by kind of a nobody, Bart Gunn. And then he started fighting Butterbean, and Butterbean knocked him out where he looked like he was dead, and he hit the rope. And it was just like, well, that was that. It was like 15 seconds or less. And it's like, okay.
A real boxer is a real boxer. Yeah. Like, people don't understand that. Like, as someone who's been punched in the face at bars several times in my life, I've been punched in the face by people who have thrown punches in training and by people who haven't. There is a marked difference. You don't have to be Kimbo Slice. You could be Patty Moe, but if you've thrown enough hands, it'll fucking sting. So get punched by by Butterbean, who's like 265, punching a wrestler.
Oh, he's got to be more than that. We won't get it, but and it's solid. Like, the shape looks fat, but I think it's like if you did like a cross section, like a hamburger, you'd be like, this is just circular muscles.
Well, I think it would be like even at 20% body fat, like if you're 300 pounds at 20% body fat, that's
all of his punches are like when you're doing that charge up move in a video game. And like if you hit, it's huge, but it's harder to hit because he's not like super fast.
Right.
But if you get hit with one, it's just like lights out.
It's over.
You're just flipping the switch. Like you're not.
There
is an appeal to Butterbean. He's like the real life Zangief, right? Like he's like the real life Kuma. You're choosing him because it's like one hit, you're knocked out. It's like, I hope he gets one hit. It's like, he might not. He might not.
I'll say, I think that Butterbean could knock out Captain America. Like if it was Captain America versus Butterbean, I'd be like, I don't think the odds would be like that skewed.
I got to get Butterbean into the Marvel Universe.
I was going to get Butterbean the Super Soldier Serum. Let's get him.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Why are we giving it to the scrawny freaks? Give it to already insane athletes.
That does sort of make sense.
This is the converse of little guys. We want little guys, but if you're not a little guy, be the biggest guy. That's what we want.
Anything in between is sucks, all right?
Not into it. I have said this so many times about dating men. Like, 5'5", 5'6", great, don't care. 5'9", worst height, hate it. Hate a 5'9", 5'10", boring. Sorry, Patty. Patty just shrugged.
Wow. A direct attack.
I just feel like short men get so much shit, and it's like, no, don't be an interesting height.
It's just
be really big or really small. Patty, why aren't you a more interesting height? How dare you?
Yeah, I gotta get back to a bagel boss height like I was when I was in like middle school.
Oh man, I forgot all about that video.
5'4" would give you a more interesting height for sure, but that might be brutal for other reasons.
Sure, like, sure.
Well, Kat thinks my height's interesting now, but no one has got me in their search terms.
No, dude, that is like a thing. Like, now that I think about it, why did they give the Super Soldier Serum to like the skinniest guy they could find? What if they were like
the biggest psychopath? Because
they had a hunch that he was a good guy. That's the whole thing.
Oh, he has the heart of a soldier.
Yeah. The military is really value someone's moral standing.
He showed that he stuffed his shoes with newspaper so he was tall enough, and he kept trying to enlist and all that stuff.
This guy really wants to kill people. He is dying to get into the military.
Oh my God. I'm not gonna get into this about Captain America. This is making me mad.
At least he was able to stop Hydra, but let the Nazis continue with the Holocaust. That's what I love about the movie, is like now they made it Hydra. It's like we have to stop Hydra. It's like, can't we just make Nazis bad guys still? Like they're.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we don't have to mention exterminating Jews in the Marvel movie, but you should have Nazis. Oh, I think part of the reason why people are becoming Nazis again is that they're not bad guys in enough stuff anymore. The soft power shit. All the stuff is like weird terrorist and Asian. So now everyone thinks it's corporations and terrorists, and no one's like, fucking Nazis are bad dudes still. Yes, they are. Let's just fucking make them bad guys in games again.
Dude,
didn't they have this problem with the Minions too? Where it was like,
yeah, the Minions couldn't do anything for like the World War II because they always worked for the worst guy on the world.
Right.
So the Minions would have been. Yeah,
the idea is that the Minions were briefly
called shock troops.
Yeah.
Like, doing some fun goofs with the levers and the showers, like trying to. They have to stack up to be able to reach them. I'm usually the only Jew on the podcast, so I'm the only one allowed to say these things.
Oh, yeah, you're still the only Jew on the podcast, but I'm not allowed to say them.
He's not Jewish. He's just from Long Island. Yeah. Let's be clear.
Exactly. That's my pass. I've just been to 80 bas mitzvahs.
That was the most Long Island pronunciation. It was like bats mitzvahs.
Yeah, like, bas mitzvahs, baby. Down at the fucking temple. I don't know. Whatever they do down there.
There's the fucking synagogue.
Fucking synagogue in South Merrick, bro. Back to little guys. Do you guys have favorite little guys? Because little guys can be so cute and even ugly only gives a little guy more power. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
There's like, and I'm sure due to your guys' level of onlineness, there's probably some mimic little guys that you've loved. But do you have any? Sugar Gliders is an old favorite of mine. I met a person who had one when I was like 11, and it was just the cutest, craziest thing. And the fact that someone had it made it seem like it was attainable, even though like
I thought it was less magical. You know, it's like never meet your heroes, never meet a sugar glider.
Truly an insane animal that like, how does this exist? Like if you don't pet it enough and you're not nice enough, it gets sad and dies. Like how is this real?
It's like a Tamagotchi come to life. It's crazy.
Yeah. Truly a little avatar of a creature. Yeah. That's in like with bush babies, right? I feel like sugar gliders and bush babies are really a lot of people's introduction to the little guy universe where they're like, you're like, I'd like to see more of whatever this is.
That was like the most famous little guy. Was like, just, I remember seeing on some show a sugar glider jump from like the corner of a room into a dude's breast pocket. And it's just like burned in my head. Is like, also, we're of the generation, and even if you're younger than me, which I think you all are, but of the generation of where monkeys were in everything like comedy wise, and like every movie, every TV show had a monkey doing something vaguely human and wearing something vaguely human. Dunstan, I think that activated little guy energy. Yeah, he's constantly checking in.
Constantly. Yeah.
He was playing third base. I forget what position he played with Matt LeBlanc, whatever Ed played.
I think the cute chimp movement got like, weren't there like 2 years where chimps like wouldn't stop ripping people's faces off?
I was going to say there was like a monkey heyday in the 90s and then a chimp ripped a lady's face off in Connecticut and it kind of stopped.
I feel like, by the way, that was the 50th face ripped off by like an entertainment chimp, but the first one that like was not covered up by like Hollywood elite PR people. Like how many fucking like budding celebrities that were maybe about to blow up had their faces ripped off by a monkey, and now then they get like $40,000 a year from Warner Brothers to work in the music department and keep their mouths shut.
Yeah, this is my QAnon now. My QAnon is there's a cabal suppressing the information about monkeys ripping faces off.
Like, how many people got a visit from Josh Brolin from Hail Caesar in the hospital with no face?
Right.
Just like, here's a briefcase full of money. I got another meeting I got to go to. Yeah,
I'm thinking little guys now. I feel like there's like all-timers, like your sugar breast pocket sugar glider. It's always with you. And then there's like recent little guys where like someone, you know, one that's been on your mind as of late. Because I know me and Patty are big-time Redwall fans from back in the day. I don't know if you ever read those, but Madame Mayo, all-time little guy. A mouse who's a knight. That's great stuff.
Pretty good. Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about now. I remember those books.
They're doing the show. They're doing a Netflix show, I think. I forget. Yeah. But that's exciting to me. That was a big one for me when I was a kid, for sure, because it was like, so they're just like walking around and like eating like little feasts and stuff.
Tubers
like,
and shit. Cordials.
I just want to. Can I like morph into this? I want to be in this scenario.
Yeah.
I don't want to do math homework. I want to live at Redwall Abbey and drink currant or whatever.
What is that about? Like, we want to be small so badly. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is so exciting. Going into like these big, and now there's also like a full. And now I'm pretending like I just found out about it. There's a huge subgenre of porn with like shrunken little dudes being picked up by their shirts and shit by giant women.
The giantess.
Don't ask how. You search giant woman a couple of times, you start finding weirder stuff than you originally were trying to find.
Did that start with the lit video for Miserable with Pamela Anderson where she eats them all? Because that feels like that was.
Started with. I think it is sort of innate, but there's Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. Have you ever seen that movie?
Sure. Yes.
It is full on written by someone who just has a fetish for giant ladies. Like that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And then I do feel like that lit video probably was an awakening for a lot of people around our age of like,
that, I feel like She-Hulk had to be a big one.
Yeah, She-Hulk.
Yes, Azina. Yeah, we're in
like,
there.
Because that wasn't Rogue, She-Hulk.
Animated Rogue.
Yeah, and She-Hulk wasn't from a time where anyone was like giving a shit about like representation in comics. So like, there was no reason they were like, we need to broaden this out. It was one guy that was like, what if the Hulk was a lady?
totally.
She's green.
Pretty cool.
What if the Hulk had hips and tits, baby? It's like, I don't know, pal, but get back in there, Kirby. Let's see what you come up with. You sick fuck. Enjoy, man. We're gonna rip you off. Excelsior. Redwall's all timers.
Another all timer, big time all timer, is the soot sprites from Spirited Away, the little dust boys in the
Those are good.
Hayao Miyazaki.
Oh, shit.
There's just kind of little guys all over the place in that. I mean, like, I know the frog is not a good guy, but the little frog running around. And I would say that, like, even though they're not little, spiritually, the little chicks that sit in the French onion crocs and have the little bass, those feel like little guys.
Oh,
to me,
yeah.
You know, even though they're big guys.
You get a little guy in a bath. Good God.
Good stuff. I was going to say one of my all-timers is capybaras.
Yes,
the capybaras that sit in the hot springs with the little yuzu like citrus in their little spa. Very good little guy in a bath. One of
the
my
monkeys
favorites.
In the hot springs in Japan. A lot of good hot spring stuff. I think you also touch on an important thing in little guy, you know, lore, which is that you don't really have to be little. It's kind of a vibe.
It's true.
Because capybaras aren't that small, but they have very strong little guy energy. The bigger you are, the fluffier you have to be. think.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Mm-hmm.
I did Natured by Nurture out here, where you swim with the otters in a pool. And it was insanely expensive and worth every fucking... And I signed up with an 11-month wait. And I went with my wife and friends, and it was a fucking riot. And I'm a little guy fan, as we're discussing, but even more, I'm like a being in the water fan, like as a lifelong fat dude. The water's the great equalizer. I'm comfortable with my shirt off, but I'm as fast as people in the water. My knees don't hurt as much in the water, motherfucker. I'm not sweating as much because I'm in the water, motherfucker. So to combine those two things.
The pool. Get him out.
Anyone else? Steam it up. Steam poured off my one part of the water. But these otters were the fucking cutest. They were like, be careful. They will go down your bathing suit and try to come out another part of it. And that was like a thing. And the other thing that they're obsessed with, these otters specifically, maybe all otters, but they like to take a cup. You fill it up with marbles. They come over. They knock it out of your hand, spill the marbles all over. Then you hold the cup back up, and they bring all the marbles back and put them in the cup.
Holy
and then
shit,
fill the cup up, and then go, all right. And then they knock it out of your hand again.
Oh,
I could
God.
Do that for a week straight with no sleep.
I did it. They were like, you have to get out now. I was like, pruny. I was like, we, you know, it was like $200 a head, and it's like a 2-hour set. I highly recommend it if you're on the West Coast, Natured by Nurture. You have to book so in advance because it's a Make-A-Wish place for kids, but on the weekends...
Do you have to say that you're a Make-A-Wish kid?
I had to fake all this shit. No. It's a Make-A-Wish place for kids that is completely funded by rich people coming on weekends and swimming with the otters. And they have fennec foxes when you want to talk little guys.
Oh, a big classic.
Ears, little guys.
Disproportionate Yes. Bodies really add power to little guys.
Yeah, yes. One body part that's not one of the gross ones is too big. Good stuff.
Not one of the gross ones, though.
Name all 8 gross body parts, Eli. Yeah.
What do you class?
I can see the list behind you on your wall, but maybe for the listeners of the podcast.
I feel like I could do a hierarchy of what body parts I'd like to see big. Ears are up there. Big ears is always good.
Ears are up there.
Yeah.
Nose is good if it's like a snout, but not if it's like a proboscis.
Not if it's like a
that's how you say that? Confidently came in there.
Who do you not like with big noses, Kath? Let
God
it all
damn
out.
It.
Thank God Eli's here, or else I would have said that same joke.
I'm curious here because I think I'm not totally sure. Let's say you got your otter appointment and you have your vaccine appointment and there's a conflict.
Oh.
I don't know that I would automatically get vaccinated. I'd be like,
No. I'd be like, I mean, otters. I'll wear a mask with the otters. It's fine.
The otters don't have it.
For another few days. Yeah.
Mm. Wait. I feel like I haven't really talked about how I felt after I got my second shot and left the CVS. I hit my 2 weeks this weekend, but I feel like this is a company that might understand the vibe I felt. You know the scene in Big Trouble in Little China when they're in the elevator and they're just looking at each other going, I feel good. I feel good. And because they had that weird liquor and they don't know like what's going on. They're like, I feel that's how I felt leaving a CVS for like the first time in a year. I was just like, shit, man. And like if Boys of Summer came on my car, I would have drove it off a cliff and been like, life doesn't get better than this. But it was just like leaving the energy I felt. But all that long ass story, TLDR, to say, I felt better leaving the otters. I felt much better leaving the fucking otters. I didn't give a shit about that, you know, opening the restaurants back then. I just wanted to see otters.
Mine felt like for something that took that long to get and like should have been such a victorious moment like that. I mean, it's good the amount of vaccine sites they have, but like where I got mine, it did not feel like it had been fixed. Like, because I had to go to a post office in the Bronx that they filled with like, so literally they turned like the bathrooms into vaccine rooms. So you're sitting in a bathroom and I was like, I definitely was like, I might have to get another one. I was like, I don't know if this one is working.
You're like, what's the Johnson, Johnson and Johnson vaccine?
Yeah.
When, which one has three Johnsons in it?
Yeah. I was just like, I shouldn't be
You're
getting...
You're about to get the third, pal. Bend over.
Yeah, I was like, I shouldn't be getting a modern medical marvel this close to a Wendy's. Like, this just feels wrong. But
well, Patty and I got ours inside the Aqueduct racetrack, which was pretty great. That was fun. Jesus. Got to look at a lot of pictures of famous horses. That made me feel good.
Yeah.
I like that. That was good.
Was it? Did
I'm
you
talking
tweet
about
that?
It on our podcast, but that there should be, you should have been able to get it in the stable where they put you in the thing. And then like
in the stirrups.
Get in the Temple Grandin hug machine and they just blast you.
and then they just shoot you in the head like a lame horse with the vaccine.
Give me the Anton Chigurh, please. Are you here for the vaccine or for the pneumatic hammer to the head that killed you? I don't care either one at this point. Whichever line is shorter.
That's like
you turn around and it's that like Ric Flair looking guy that always wins the Kentucky Derby. It's like, what are you shooting me up with right now?
I wish we should have gotten the vaccine horse tranquilizer combo. Just really made a day of it. Just, you know, a little ketamine, little vaccine.
They should still do shit like this. Get all the people who are flippant about it. You know, like get all the people like Brooks and Dunn are doing a fucking vaccine concert, you know, like free ticket if you come and get vaccinated or show your vax card. Let's do a few things like that. Let's inspire. I'm all for, you know, bribing the worst people in America.
Yes.
Like at this point,
bribing.
I'm not
going to
be
bribing.
Give them $50 if they get a vaccine.
Yeah. I
if you
out,
come get Johnson & Johnson, I will give you $50. I will start that.
At an intersection of little guys and this talk, I found out today that in Louisiana, some places they give you crawfish if you get a vaccine.
Oh,
which
that
sounds
rules. That's so smart.
Made up. Yeah. I'd love a crawfish.
See,
I don't know
if
they're
the
pet
vaccine,
ready, but.
Yeah. Get the vaccine, they give you a hermit crab to take care of.
Yeah.
They give you
I'm
a turtle that you then have
crab.
To sign your life away to because it'll live longer than you.
You get a dozen French bulldog puppies that are engineered to be near death. Have fun.
Yeah. The ones where when you get their skull, it looks like they died in like a meteor strike, like just a regular pug skull. Have you ever seen one? Yeah. It's like
I read an article a few years ago in New York Magazine or in the New York Times Magazine about the Georgia Bulldog and how
they're
on like the 11th in like 13 years and how the dog has to come waddling out and they put down like an ice cold pad for it to lay on because it's out in the Georgia sun all day.
Oh, no.
And it's like, guys, and they're like, they breed this dog to look a special way. And what we're doing to French Bulldogs to give them those underbites that make them so cute, or to English Bulldogs, we're fucking up their brains and breathing capabilities much
French Bulldogs
to make them
breathe.
Cuter and cute. Yeah, it's like, I mean, I have a Boston Terrier. They're pretty much the same thing, but he can, they're not breeding him to make his snout even shorter. Like,
It's like Georgia, the official school of hip dysplasia, like just being unable to walk.
Because I used to live in Austin and like I would see people with those kind of dogs and it's just like, you just can't have a dog like that where it's hot. Like it's just, you shouldn't be allowed to. It can't live, it cannot survive.
Or it's got to be an apartment dog. You can't like, you. It can't be your accessory at the fucking, we're going to go get drinks at, we're going to go to Torchy's and fucking sit with our French bulldog in the 110 degree heat.
Yeah.
Right. How many of those dogs I've just seen melted on a patio? Just like a puddle. Miserable.
Just teeth, a leash, and like a brindle colored puddle.
Yeah. I used to love, I walked a big husky in like Dumbo and when it was like August, it was just like, okay, so me walking this means like hanging out in someone's really expensive apartment with a husky for 30 minutes. Cause I'm like, if I take this dog outside, it's going to get heat stroke in the elevator. It's going to be like immediately dead.
Yeah. It needs to live in a walk-in freezer.
Just get this thing out to pee and poop and then get back in the shade.
Oh boy. Walk-in freezer. I'll tell you, if you never had access to a walk-in freezer, when I worked at Trader Joe's, obviously we go back there. Like I legitimately miss it some days when I'm hungover. I'm like, I wish I had a walk-in freezer because you go in there. Oh my God. It's like,
I was a bartender. We had like that keg room that kept chill. And it's like, you can go in there sweating your ass off mid shift and just sit down with like a fucking bottle of beer and just sit in the cold for like 5 minutes. And it can completely get you back in there for the second half of the shift.
I feel like, and I say this as someone who also like waited tables, had the walk-in freezer. I feel like to what like to Gwyneth Paltrow types, a spa is to them what a walk-in freezer is to dirt bags.
It
is our spa. It restores us. It keeps us healthy.
It's for the summer city commuter. It's the Apple Store with the doors open and the air conditioner on.
Yes.
40 degrees. When you get that just gust when you're and you're like, I'm gonna stand in front of the Gap while I send this text. You know,
yep.
That's the most New York City shit ever. I'm having flashbacks to like, this will dry my swamp ass standing for 5 minutes in front of this store while I look at my phone.
Yeah, the opposite of like the hot. Like you're just like hungover in New York, and then you pass one of those hot grates and it's like,
ugh.
It feels like you just got attacked. You're like, oh my god.
My mouth was so dry and now it's now there's literally sand in
it. Like I think a hungover like a ghost just passed through me. What the fuck?
It feels like a stranger just breathed directly into your mouth. It feels like it's so gross.
Red wine drunk stranger.
Yeah.
No, when I was in India, I studied abroad there in college, and I'd seen some Indian movies before I went, and they're all so fucking long. They're like 3 hours long, Indian movies.
Because they have to get all 15 genres in all of them.
Yeah, they have literally everything in them. And a lot of the reason for that is because people don't have air conditioning in their houses, but they have air conditioning at the movies.
Oh.
And again, they have everything in them because you just bring everybody. You're just like, we're going to the movies to sit in the air conditioning for 3 hours.
Oh, so that's why it's like, you can tune out during the musical number, and but there'll be karate coming up soon, and like...
Exactly.
Get pumped. Oh, that's I never put that together. That's so rad.
I definitely did that with MoviePass at least once. Was just I don't even care what this movie is, but it's so
because glory days.
There's something different about movie AC. It's like movie soda. It's like getting a Coke from a movie theater is just better than any Coke you've ever had. And like AC in a movie theater is like next level. It's like secret technology.
Movie
just
AC
like,
is up there with like television studio AC, which I think is like
the real
strongest cold. Air conditioning available.
Mm-hmm. Do you get
I worked on 30 Rock, and Alec Baldwin has like special rules that on the days he works, the temperature gets dropped even colder. And you could just tell because like all the grips who wear fucking cargo shorts and t-shirts every day when Alec is on set, everyone is wearing hoodies because they keep it like 15 degrees colder than other days. And I am, as a fat Long Islander, I just look at my hero Alec Baldwin and be like, good work, man. Thank you, sir.
I was going to say, like, I've never really like, you know, obviously I want to like make all of my money from show business, but like I've never really wanted to be like a famous person until I've heard that story.
Yes!
And now
you
I
get
do.
Temperature
like,
control.
If I didn't realize that if you're famous enough, you get to access to a new level of air conditioning.
You get to pick everyone else's air conditioning.
You get
to pick 100 other people who are working every day on this show. You get to pick their air conditioning because you were in fucking Hunt for Red October or whatever.
This sounds pretty good.
This is the counterpoint to that, because I'm curious. I think you may have had perhaps a very similar experience because you also, did you ever do Actually for college?
Yeah.
Humor? Yeah, yes. So I did. It's like one of my only like on a set things I've done, and I sweat quite easily. And like we were filming it, and like they were like, "Hey, everybody, we're gonna take like a real quick break." And then the entire break was they turned, stopped the camera. Somebody walked over, like wiped my head off, and then powdered it, and was like, "And we're back." And I was like, "Oh my god!"
Like, they dressed it up as a break for everybody. That was nice of that.
No, they were like, "Hey, you're getting a little wet out there. We're just gonna take a quick break, and we're not gonna say why." It was like,
see, I hosted. Oh, sorry, go back.
That's why Baldwin does that. You know, nobody's ever gonna powder his face. He comes in, he says, I'm looking for the cure for my wife's illness. That's why I've frozen her. And then he's ready to go. You know, that's what he needs.
Grandpa's ready. He would do this thing where he like bend over and like stretch his hamstrings and like cough at the same time. Like this like weird acting warm. I'm probably spilling
that's
too many
literally
beans
like
about
a prostate
hero.
Exam, isn't it? Isn't that like
he would shit out a pack of cigarettes.
He's doing the Ace Ventura thing, it sounds like.
He was just asking me a few questions.
He can only act if his sphincter is as relaxed as possible. It makes for a better performance. It's got to go for it.
Because when I think Alec Baldwin, I just generally think relaxed. Yes. He seems like a real super relaxed guy.
Whenever I listen to my voicemails that Alec leaves me, they're always so relaxed.
Starts out with no rush to respond. Alec here.
On the Gina Lombardo show, season one, I talk a lot about how I'm trying to get Alec Baldwin on the podcast because he's a Long Island hero. And I say like, and later on in this, I tease that he's in the episode and I'm like, I missed his call. So he left me a voicemail and I just play. You little pig, you greedy little pig. I just play it in its totality, like, whoa, this seems aggressive, Alec. Like, such a fucking, my references are all from the 90s. I'm so fucking lame.
Alec Baldwin, very much not a little guy. And again, no, this isn't a
only
health
gaining
thing,
size,
but just not a good vibe.
No, he doesn't have a little guy vibe. Doesn't have a positive vibe at all.
Little guys are not picking your air conditioning. They're happy with whatever you got.
Little guys got that's fucking their thing. They're like a
potent ass sperm, though. Guy's got motility, right? He's got to be like 60.
That's the AC. It's his keeping his sperm intact.
Yeah, he kept his ball. Yeah, he was never in a Speedo in a hot tub drinking Mountain Dew. He took care of his boys.
Motile as hell. Oh,
yeah. You could post those boys up.
You know
up
you're 40 and married if you know what motile means.
Post those boys up outside of a car dealership. Let them dance. Bring people in. Yeah. But I think that little guys are like the character actors of the world. Perhaps there's an alignment there. You know,
they have a very specific part to play and it's very important and they are happy to do it.
Yeah.
And when you really focus in on them, you notice something else that's going on.
They got something special.
They're so used to being a small part of something that when you really give them the focus that little guys deserve, like it really is eye opening. They're like, oh, look at these little elves. Holy shit, they're making fucking cookies inside that tree. Yeah. You know, like as you get figure out what's going on, it just, you know, opens your eyes to newer and newer things.
They're like Bill Camp.
Yeah.
Yes, they're like Bill Camp.
But yeah, that's
I mean, legendary fucking character. That dude is a guy who I didn't know of until the movie. I watched the series the night of, and then like have went back and found everything he's ever done. He fucking rules.
Yeah, that's the best outcome.
Who's that guy? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's so funny to watch. Be like, this guy's real. Like Sound of Metal, the guy who was nominated. I was just like, who the fuck is this dude? I know Rez is a good actor. I did not know this dude at all, and he's fucking crushing. The little guy, man.
The little
deaf guy. Ooh. Winner, chicken dinner. I guess that guy's not even deaf. Yeah. Whoops.
It's like
I didn't watch the movie.
It's the same thing too. It's like, you know, like it's some movie and there's like they pass through like a mob, you know, and it's like there's like a little Russian guy at the bar, and it's like, why did you pan past him? Like, why? Bring it back. Bring the camera back. I want to see like what's he up to. I want to get the whole world here, you know.
My dad was a big guy. He was 6'5", but his friend at work was 5'5" and was also named John.
Oh,
my
dad so was big. Good.
So they were like, it was the funniest because, and this guy was a Johnny Petrini, the most Italian little fucking union fire plug ever. He's like, John, get down here, you big fucking freak. Come over here, you big freak. And my dad would be like, all right, you need help getting a fucking haircut? You need to push into the seat? Like they were like a comic duo, two just amazing union guys of absolutely different sizes. And because we're talking so much about little guys and we're touching on big guys, but big guys and little guys are more simpatico than almost any other guys.
Yeah.
There's a natural affinity there. And I think that's what I said when, you know, no offense to the average heighted among us, but like there's something when you get a big guy and a little guy together, it is that's where the magic happens. I really believe that.
That's what I'm saying. That
it's the classic comedy pairing. The classic comedy physical pairing is one big person, one small person.
Yeah.
It SNL's just works.
Guests
well, one
every
large
week.
White man, one small white
yeah,
man.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah,
every week, SNL should have two guests, one big, one small. The sketches write themselves. Easiest job in the world.
This is the so diversity. Easy. We're all finally fully behind pushing diversity on. We're like, oh, we're making a huge game. I think there should be big and little people. It's like, I don't care what race or gender or whatever they are. They just got to be big and little.
Yep.
Put them on a steamboat or something. You know, just do that.
I don't give a fuck.
Well, I feel like there'd be like, okay, as long as they're white guys who wrote for the Harvard Lampoon, sure. Yes. We got it.
As long as that's happening. But
before we get out of here, any bad little guys or evil little guys.
Ooh, malevolent.
In our past, malevolent little guys. I could kick us off because one that is the little gnome from Cat's Eye that holds Drew Barrymore's nose closed when she's sleeping and sucks the wind out of her. It's like this little gremlin that I was so afraid of when I was a kid. I think it gave me claustrophobia. But I watched it like 2 years ago, and it's like so clearly a fucking toy. It's like the most, it's like the least scary thing ever. I was like, I didn't sleep for like 10 years because of this movie, and I watched it. Like, I was like embarrassed of how corny. When you, if you Google Cat's Eye Little Goblin or whatever it is, you'll see it's like Gavis. That's embarrassing.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, I mean, it's a little goofy, but it definitely would have ruined my life as a child. So
I don't care for that. Yeah, I can think of a couple little guys. If we're going to childhood little guys that are memorable, first one would be from the movie Ghoulies. Are you familiar with Ghoulies? Where the guy gets attacked by the ghoulie in the toilet.
Toilet, yeah. You, I knew that's what this was going. Critters and Ghoulies, that was like a whole subgenre of movies for a while.
Critters,
it was like,
of course, yeah.
Yeah. A group of little things that are scary. Like all gremlin ripoffs, obviously. Like
obviously,
all
descendants
of gremlins. Well, but that was a big thing. Gizmo is like the OG little guy.
Mogwai are critters, and gremlins are creatures, and that's how you know what you're dealing with.
That's the pitch of Gremlins, is like, what little guys gone wrong? What if little guys suddenly weren't?
What if we had cute little guys and annoying and scary little guys? Hell yeah!
I feel like I'm just also made of electricity.
What if one of them? Then we could put them on hold. That's how electricity works. Yeah. I remember even being like I was 14 when that movie came out, and going, what? You can't do that.
The electricity gremlin was basically a god, and to borrow a classic phrase from last fall, he went out like Stan Chera, big time. Just got stuck on the phone. The salad gremlin took what was harder to kill than that guy. Come on, give me a break.
Salad gremlin.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of bad bugs now. I'm like thinking of like old-timer bad
bugs. Bugs are classic little bad guys.
I would posit a silverfish, one of my least favorite bad guys. You know those bad little guys?
Yeah, they got all these little feet going.
They're like imagine like a centipede, but it's a skeleton version of that.
That's
what they are. Don't like
centipedes in general are scary because they're like snakes and bugs at the same time. It's like, no, thank you. Yeah. Temple of Doom, that movie fucked me up for like those. Luckily, living in New York City, Los Angeles, and Long Island have prevented me from really running into foot-long millipedes with 1,000 legs. But if I ever see one, I'm shitting an entire biscuit out of my asshole.
They get worse when you kill them, too. That's the worst thing about centipedes. You're like, my God.
I hate any bug that makes a sound when you kill it. Like, that's just too much. Another thing that happened to me when I was in India was it was right before I left, and I was like getting ready to go to bed. And I hear this like whack, whack, whack outside the house that I'm staying in. And I go outside and our neighbor, the like dad of the neighbor's family, is like wailing on something with a shoe. And I was like, what's going on? And he pulls it up and he shows it's a huge black scorpion, like a big shiny scorpion. And I was like, hey, where was that? And he gave me the worst answer possible, which was in the bathroom.
Oh no.
I was like, I am so glad I am leaving this country in a week because
oh my God, that's
it never
horrifying.
Occurred to me that that could be something that would be in a bathroom, and now I'm so upset.
But now every time you sit down in the morning, that will be on your mind that that's possible. Scorpions may be scariest thing ever.
But
they're scariest
scary.
Little guy of all time.
But they have the power to me, like scorpions, the only thing that makes us redeems the scorpion is that they're kind of cool if like in an idea.
They are cool looking.
The worst is like I'm thinking like earwigs are really bad because they're like, they're not even cool. They're just get out of here. Yeah.
I don't like their end game, those earwigs. Yeah.
This is another thing we discuss on our podcast a lot, is that all bugs are trying to get in your mouth at all times.
That's like their fucking driving force is to get in. It's awful, dude.
And that's a defining characteristic of a bad little guy, is that he's trying to, he's making a beeline for your mouth. That's no
good. Yeah, that's fair. That's completely fair. That is something frowned upon in society. Yeah. Is anything making a beeline for your mouth? I used to eat so many bugs for attention and laughs. I used to eat cicadas off the tree like they were fucking Doritos, dude. Cicada shells.
That's like popcorn shrimp, though, right?
It was like crawfish. You just pop the head.
Yeah. Well,
suck the brain out, throw the wings in the trash.
It's happening right now, like, because I grew up in DC, and DC has, like, it's one of those things where it's like you think the world has moved on and we're a modern society and all that, but there's still the thing in DC where they're like, every 17 years a brood of cicadas awakens and blankets the city, and you're like, that's still happening? Like, is there some pharaoh that's like still fucking around? Some, why is this happening in America? Like,
it does feel like ancient lore and it shouldn't be happening. It's like the Wi-Fi is down, and of course also it's the 17th year in the cicada cycle, so yeah. Those yeah. two things are occurring at once.
Yeah.
And
once
Bennifer
again
is back.
Whoa! Yeah, that's actually, yeah, I mean,
the
I feel like
I'm
back in college. Yeah.
Oh. A lot
the
of
last time
towns.
There were cicadas was Bennifer. I think, again, though, this is something that perhaps we could solve if Kimbo Slice were still alive. You know,
yeah.
Maybe that would end the cicadas.
Just start punching the ground. I don't know. They're in the ground, right?
That's when, he knocks Jake Paul out, all the cicadas decide to leave the Earth.
They're like, our work is done.
Yeah. They all move into one hype house together in West Hollywood and fuck up traffic for everybody until all your neighbors complain and you have to
hey,
move.
What's up, guys? We're here doing a new video. Yeah,
cicadas are basically influencers. They're like really loud and constantly multiplying. And just like anywhere they've been is not cool anymore. They're like, Jake Paul is molting. He's leaving his skin around. Like, get out of here, dude.
That's what Logan is.
It's Jake a Paul shed of skin suit. Out of like Logan.
Multiplicity. Yeah. Like, hi, Steve.
Yeah.
She touched my peppy, Steve. Thank you.
God. Fuck. Any other scary little... We had scorpions. Classic scary little guys. There's not really, like... I guess snakes are scary, but I don't think they get little guy. And it would have to be like a specific type of... There are cute snakes. But
like garter snakes aren't bad.
Yeah, like little thin little guys that are like wiggly when they move. You're like, that seems okay. But anything bigger than like an arm, you're like, this thing is... Or anything thicker than a finger is like, that's a fucking snake. That's not a critter.
Yeah. No, the type of snake that is scary and harmful is not a little guy. But there are guy snakes for sure.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's all I needed to hear. Thanks for having me. Check out their podcast. Goodbye. Thank you, Kath. That's all I was trying to get at. No, but for real, thank you guys so much for coming on Hide and Mighty. This was awesome. I have so many little guys to Google. And so, you know what? Also, I implore the listeners of this episode to reply to the tweet about this episode with pics of your favorite little guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Please tag us.
Farm that out, please.
We'll definitely put some of our... We have some recurring characters from the stories on our podcast. A lot of little guys make cameos. We'll let that's people know.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, tell people where they can find you on social media and plugs. Go around the horn, babies.
Patty, you know all this stuff, right? Oh, sorry. Just Patty always knows all the podcast details that I can't ever get right.
I'll go. Yeah, we're what a time to be alive. You said What a Time Pod on Twitter, What a Time Pod on Instagram, whatatimepod.com. You know, just anywhere there's a... Yeah, we're not the Drake and Future album. That's a key thing to point out.
Or the yellow one with the smiley face. That's
us. Yes. And I'm Patty Moe on all the stuff pretty much. So yeah. What about you guys?
Sorry, Eli's exhaling vape smoke into his synth.
Wow.
For some Twitch
we keep
stream.
The vape smoke off the... I'm like always worried, and our producer posted a clip where I hit the jewel during it, and immediately people were replying like, "Nice cloud." I'm like, "God damn it!"
Yeah. I mean, I'm vaping during this too, so it's only fair. But mine is a fucking turkey bag full of THC.
I just panicked and I assumed we were going to do plugs in the order that we do them on our show because I'm a creature of habit. So I was waiting for last.
You can... Do you want to go? Do you want me to go? This is a nightmare. I'm Kat Barbadoro. I have Listen to What a Time to Be Alive, which I do with these two. And I also have a podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal, which is a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. We do two free episodes and two Patreon-only episodes a month. I'm Kath Barbadoro on social media, and hopefully I'll have stand-up dates eventually, so follow me on Twitter.
Hopefully we all will be fucking leaving
Fingers
the house
crossed.
And doing some shit. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, just my name, Eli Yudin, E-L-I-Y-U-D-I-N. Instagram is Chili's Restaurants. And then if you're a Twitch person, I stream on Twitch at pig_dog. I gotta centralize these names. God, I got so many aliases, dude. Yeah, and then what a time, obviously.
Well, at least the government cannot find it.
Yeah. And also, I do a show with some people, old friends of mine from college humor, called TV and D, where we play D&D as different TV casts. We're doing a Futurama one right now. And you can find all those on YouTube if you search TV and D, or you can watch it live on Twitch on Thursdays. We do that.
Hell fucking yeah. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out Action Boys, my other podcast, where we review action movies for longer than the lengths of the movies. That's not a selling point. I understand that, but I just want to inform you. And we have some free episodes, so you don't have to go on Patreon, pay for it. We have like a few free episodes. Just search that wherever. Get hooked, get a sniff, and then join the fucking... join these guys' Patreon, and then if you have extra money, join mine. If you have enough for one Patreon, join theirs. But if you have enough for two, join both of ours. And then on the next podcast, I'll keep saying this to all my guests and hopefully get enough karma that I end up with the most subscribers. All I need is an extra $1.50 a month share. Every listener is another 75 cents in my pocket a month.
Yeah. We'll work out a tithing arrangement. That's patreon.com/whatatimepod. I guess I'll say that just to make sure it's out there.
Yeah.
Sure. Smart.
We got to eat some like medically spicy nuts because we're idiots with good Patreon goals. So there's a selling point.
Medically spicy nuts.
Yeah.
Yep. Join our Patreon. Watch us do the NFL combine when we hit 2,000 patrons.
That is also a goal you can help us hit.
Oh, fuck. All right. Yeah. Please, let's join that Patreon. I got to know how many. I want to watch Kath bench 225 more than both of you guys.
Absolutely.
I believe. That's where I want to put my money.
Eli's got the long arms and the no chest development. Bro, you're toast.
Somebody guessed. They were like, well, Eli, they guessed somebody other than me for vertical leap. And I was like, are you kidding me?
No, I'll give you vertical leap for sure. Yeah.
Even if I can't leap.
I haven't seen Patty in real life at all, so I have no idea what his height situation. He could stand up and be, but I saw him like frown at the 5'10 comment. So, but he might have mad ups. Eli might be one of those tall dudes who has no ups.
I'm like the normal guy, the middle guy in the ice hockey NES game.
Let's all that's around.
It. Yeah, that's my stat line, I think.
Yeah, I'm always never the fast guy. I'm always the butterbean of sport. Like if he can get his hands on you, you're fucked. But most likely he's in the corner hurting.
Yeah, real NFL center powers. Like, well, he can't move either. So this is the least mobile place.
And not getting his neck snapped. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Center was the most terrifying position. I played it for like 3 years, and it was just like too overwhelming. It was much easier to just be a guard because I didn't have to worry about snapping and not dying.
Oh, okay. You're an actual athlete. Not dying. I'm out of my depth here. Just
mean real sports? Oh, nerd. I don't know.
I was like Madden. It was still stressful in Madden. I chose a center as my makeup player. So embarrassing.
The funniest possible thing. Oh, yeah. Let me do my career as I'm going to be an all-pro center.
Long snapper. I get a little extra play in the punt team with the long snaps.
Just simming through like 90% of the game except for those long snaps. You're getting paid like $2,000 a month. Like not even making money.
It's like lower than Patreon. Yeah. To sacrifice your life and neck. Thank you guys. I'm such a fan. It was so awesome that you guys did this podcast. Bye, shitheads.
Bye.
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 That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold. Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now.
somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane. It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators. We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I'm Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!